Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yod Zayin, and we're right up to that Halakha Mishnah, and we're happy to see that Daniel, even though he seems to be in Katzrin in the Golan, does have good internet connection. Good. It's wonderful. Okie dokie. Hirchikat ha-sichuch min ha-tfanot shlosha tfachim psula. So here we're about to have three examples of a sugya that we've spoken about many times before, and we've actually talked about cases in this Mishnah, and that is the concept of dofen akuma, but we've sort of assumed it on the side, and here we're finally going to actually speak about all of the details of dofen akuma and see whether that is the way we've understood it until now or whether there's a whole different way of looking at it. So let's start from the three cases. Here's case number one. You put your schach onto the walls of your sukkah, and the problem is that they were three tfachim away from the walls. So now the walls, there's empty space, the walls have no connection to the schach because they're not loved. But how about if there's something, not empty space, how about if there's something between the wall and the schach? So let's take the classic case that we've spoken about, which is a house whose roof collapses, and you go ahead and you put schach kosher in the middle of your living room, and right now you've got only the middle of the roof that's collapsed, but the edges of the roof are all fine. So then the halacha is, if you have a distance of 4 amot between the wall that survived the collapse and the beginning of the sichuch, so there's 4 amot of roofing that's still there, then the roof is pasul. But if it's less than that, it's okay. Now, the same thing would be true if you have a chatzar, and this chatzar is surrounded by this achsadra. So the achsadra, remember the idea of the achsadra is that it's this inside, Rashi compares it to the cloisters, which are, of course, these were the old churches that had the area that was built around the yard was completely covered with like a porch that went all the way around. And over here, the distance between the wall of the house and the middle area of the cloister yard, which was uncovered, and now you cover it with schach, there too. If it's 4 amos from the edge of the roof to the schach, then it's no good. Or, the third case is, a sukkah gedola, shikifua bedova shein mesachin bo. So suppose you have a large sukkah, the whole thing would be kosher, except for the problem that you put a bunch of toaster ovens all around the sides of the roof, and now you've got 4 amot from the wall till the area where the kosher schach is no longer covered with toaster ovens. So if you've got 4 amot, then it's possible. If you have less than 4 amot, then it's kosher. Now, again, we're assuming because of our prejudice that the way that this Mishnah is meant to be understood is that there is a din of dofen akuma. And dofen akuma means that we take the wall and we bend the wall at the corner, not that we bend it at an angle. We'll see why we don't say we bend it at an angle. We bend the wall at the corner so that it comes around and touches the schach. As Rashi points out, that's the only way to understand the halacha, because if it were that the point is that we view the wall as bending inwards towards whatever point that the schach begins, as long as it's within 4 amot, then it wouldn't make sense to say there's a difference between an empty space or something that's not kosher for schach. And yet the Mishnah says there's a tremendous difference. If it's empty space, then you don't say dofen akuma. Then all you're stuck with is lovut. But lovut has to be within 3 tfachim. If you say dofen akuma, then you have 4 amot. So obviously dofen akuma is making use of the actual pieces of schach that are puzzle, your toaster ovens say, and the wall now consists of your wall plus the toaster ovens, and it stops at the schach that's kosher. That accounts for the difference between the avir and the actual schach posel. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro. Okay, now it turns out, let's assume that that's the reason, and now it turns out that we have three cases that are essentially saying exactly the same thing. Case number one was the collapsed roof. Case number two was the area that was covered with the covering over the porches that surrounded the inside. Just in case, I think I have a picture of that. Somebody have that picture of the cloisters? I don't have it here. Just to show it. Okay, I can't make it out very well, but all right. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? So basically, you've got this wire, but I think it's like the Spanish courtyards are all like that, right? So you've got the space in the middle for trees and so on, and then it's all surrounded on three sides. Huh? It's the wrong picture there. Hold on. That one. Yeah, I didn't have that one in the... Yeah, okay. So then it's all surrounded, as you can see, three sides. And then in the middle, you put the schach over the area where the lawn is. And that's the case number two. And the case number three is you just have a regular big sukkah. But up against the walls on top of the schach, you've got all of this not kosher stuff. Okay. So then the issue would be, apparently, that we're going to say dofen akuma for four amot. Now, here is a subtle point, but the Gemara is built around this point. There is no din of schach being posel if it's four amos. Get that out of your head. The meaning of the Mishnah is that there is a din of dofen akuma, but that din of dofen akuma was only said you can use up to four amot, but not four amot of dofen akuma. That's all the halacha said. Now, because of that, if you try to go more than four amos, you have no way to be machshir the sukkah, because now the walls do not reach the schach. And we're going to see that that understanding is actually a machlokas, and how to read those words is going to make all the difference in the world. So right now we're taking a simple approach to the Mishnah. Dofen akuma is halacha l'moshe misinai that speaks about one thing and one thing only. How far can you bend a wall over to the schach? That's all. If you can't bend the wall, so then your schach doesn't touch the wall. Ask the Gemara, what's the point of having three separate cases, all of which say the same exact thing, that you've got up to four amot, but not four amot, that allows you to bend the wall. So kolani lamali. Well, because each one is coming to tell me a chiddush. Let's say we would have started with the one of the Bayit Shenivchat, that classic case which we talked about way back at the beginning of the Masechet. I would say, look, of course, that is acceptable, because basically the walls around your living room were always made to surround the room that you're calling your living room. Now that your living room has turned into kosher schach because of its collapsed roof, now you have walls around your sukkah. So what's the problem? Those walls were always made to surround that schach, except before it wasn't schach, it was roofing. Now it's schach, but the walls are there for that purpose. So I would say over there, yes, the mechitzot are labayit avidan. They were made for purposes of inside the bayit, and therefore they can be used as dofen akuma. But now let's take a look and see, can we expand that idea to the Spanish courtyard? I mean, over there, what are you trying to use as the walls of your sukkah? The houses, the outdoor wall of the house, which is up against the porch that extends all around, right? Well, I mean, the wall of the house was not made for the outside. The wall of the house was made for the inside. But your sukkah is on the outside. Can you say dofen akuma in the opposite direction of where the dofen is made for? That doesn't necessarily follow, right? So I need to have a separate case to apply the din of dofen akuma step by step, even in a direction which is the opposite direction of what the wall was meant to enclose. Now, let's say we would have had both of these cases. Would the toaster oven case follow? No. Why? Because yashmin and hanitarte, I would say, that's mishum disechachan schach kasherhu. What is the psul of the first two cases, of the schach that is around the kosher schach? Is it made out of some material that's not kosher for schach? No. It's perfectly kosher for schach. The only problem is I can't use it because it wasn't made for schach. It was made for a home, or it was made for the purposes of this porch that went around it. But that's only a problem of Tasa Volumina Osri, right? I mean, or Xeras Tikra, which is basically built of Tasa Volumina Osri. Okay, but I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong. So maybe the idea of Dofen Akuma is that you can use a material which is kosher for Schach and pretend that it's a wall if that allows you to get the wall up to the kosher Schach. You can't use toaster ovens. I mean, how could a toaster oven be part of a sukkah? Therefore, I need the third case to tell me that even the sukkah gedola, sheikifua bedovash ein misachachimba, where over there, sechacha is chach pasul, even there, it's kosher. And therefore, tzricha, we now understand why we need all three cases. Omar Rabba. Now here we get into this beautiful, really beautiful discussion, which is extremely sophisticated. And watch how this discussion develops. It's just so striking. So Rabba says, look, I bumped into the Rabbanit of a Rav, and they were all sitting around, and they were saying over Rav's Shita, specifically. And they said that what Rav held was that Avir is posel b'shlosha, and Schach pasul is posel b'arba'a. So if you have, now let's make one thing very clear at the onset. When we're talking about Schach Pasul in these circumstances, we're not talking about a little bit of Schach Pasul in the middle of a sukkah. We're talking about a band of Schach Pasul that goes from the back wall of the sukkah, that is to say the middle wall, it goes all the way down to the open wall of the sukkah. And what has happened because of that? If it is wide enough to separate the two halves of the sukkahs from each other, then both of those halves are going to be pasul because they only have two walls, you see? That's the problem. It's not that there's some magic shear of how much schach pasul passes a sukkah. Forget about this. There's no such concept. What we're talking about over here is sort of a false force, an artificial force that passes the sukkah. It's like, you know, people believe centrifugal force is a force, you know. The same thing over here. They believe that Schach Pasul is really, in the middle of the sukkah, is a psul in the sukkah. There's no such thing. It just boils down in people's minds to the same thing. Because since you end up having a sukkah that doesn't have three walls, so because of that, the Schach Pasul's it, because now it has separated between the two halves of the sukkah. But, I mean, if you consider a case where, let's say, the band of Schach Pasul, or the band of space, depending on what we're talking about over here, between the two halves of the sukkah, is placed between the back wall and the open wall on the other side, then if assuming that you have enough for a 7x7 tvachim sukkah from the back wall, it's not going to affect the back wall in any way. The back wall still has the two side walls attached to it. It's just that you can't walk out further than that because the rest of it is not attached to your sukkah. That's all. So what we have over here is this false psul called schach pasul pasuls from the middle of a sukkah. How much of it? Four tvachim. Where does that come from? What do you think it comes from? Well, it's obvious what it comes from because we've always said that four tvachim is considered to be a makom chashuv, right? That's been like a concept that's been with us since Masechet Shabbat, through Masechet Erevin, and we spoke about it over here, about the Shir of Lovod was a machlokas, maybe Lovod is four tvachim, or we had over here the differences between having something that's a space or having something that is a place, remember, that we spoke about. Fine, okay, that was Benogea, the Dinim of Gzeras Tikra, and stuff like that. But the same idea would follow over here. If you're looking at something that is an interruption between two parts of the sukkah, so then if it's chashiv to have a shame of a place unto itself, I understand that. Now, how am I going to connect that half of the sukkah to the other half of the sukkah? So it's just a logical understanding. On the other hand, how about if you have just plain old empty space? There's nothing there at all. Well, over there, once there's no lovud, so if there's no lovud, you don't have two halves of a sukkah that are not attached together. So then how are you going to be makshir the sukkah? It's basically not connected to its other part. It's the same thing as what the Mishnah said, that if you have schach that is three tvachim away from the wall, so then you don't have that wall. It's not that there's some kind of magic psul, it's just you don't have a wall. Because anything that is not lovud, meaning that it's three tvachim and up, is simply considered to be disconnected. So all of these are sort of halakhas, except for the Dofen Akuma. All of these are simple halakhas that come from the overall description of the nature of separate places. That's all. And it looks like we're talking about some magical psula of the sukkah. We're just going back to the old-fashioned problem of a sukkah needing three walls. That's all. Okay. So now, Rav was supposedly, according to this Talmidim over here, Rav is quoted as saying that if you've got a band like that in the middle of the sukkah, so then it's four tefachim. If you have it at the edge of the sukkah, meaning between the wall and the schach, then it's four amot. But that's because, of course, Dofen Akuma. That has nothing to do with the issue of whether it's a place that's choshev to break your sukkah into two parts, right? Okay, so this is what they told Rav. So they were telling him, Avir posel b'shlosha, and schach pasul is posel b'arba'a. Well, says Rav, I'll tell you what I told them, because this makes absolutely no sense. And I'll tell you why. I pointed out to them, look, where did you get the idea? Avir the posel b'shlosha min halacha. How do you know that if you have a three tefachim sliced through your sukkah of airspace, that that is considered to be posel? What's the mokra? Obviously, our Mishnah, right? So our Mishnah says, Ditzrat, hirchikat ha-sichuch min ha-defanot shlosha tefachim, it's psula. So where did you get the idea, pray tell, that schach posel in the middle of the sukkah is going to be posel with four tefachim? That's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you've got four amot. So where did you come up with four tefachim? I'm very confused. You know what they told me? They told me, what are you talking about, man? The story in the sukkah isn't about schach posel, being posel be arba amot. It's talking about Dofen Akuma. What does that have to do with schach posel? It's not because there's something about the amount of schach that separates the sukkah. There is a separate halacha l'meshumi Sinai. Halacha l'meshumi Sinai says that you can use a concept called Dofen Akuma, and you can use it up till four amos. So therefore, the Mishnah said that up till four amos, forget about this. Would you get the idea of schach posel passeling barba amos? It's simply that if you don't have the Dofen Akuma, so now you're stuck, because your schach is not attached to the wall. What are you trying to bring a raya that the idea of schach posel is only considered to be choshev if it's four amos? That's crazy. There's nothing to do with that. So bar minei, get out of here. Because Rav and Shmuel both explain that the point of the Mishnah is all built around bishum dofen akuma noguba. It's all about dofen akuma. That's how this got involved. So I said to them, well, okay, that's fascinating. So then I've got a problem. I'll tell you my problem. You've come up with a crazy idea, right? Because what that means is that you picked out of a hat the idea that four tefachim, not four amos, but four tefachim of schach posel that goes down in a band through your sukkah is going to separate the sukkah into two parts. Okay, now I know where you came up with that. I understand. You think it's not out of a hat. I'm going to show you it is out of a hat. Because your idea is that since Arba Tvachim is considered to be a mokum that is choshev, so because of that, you decided that that must be the shear. Okay, so let me ask you something. Imagine a case. You've got schach pasul, and it's less than four tvachim. It's less than four tvachim. Right next to it, you've got avir. And this avir is less than three tefachim. Now, what's the din? According to you, I mean, you're telling me it's kosher. Because you're telling me that we've got two completely different ideas over here. One of them is schach posel. I don't have a shear of schach posel to posel. And the other one is airspace. I don't have a shear of airspace to posel. So therefore, it's kosher. Okay, fine, it's kosher. Now, suppose I come along, okay, and I add a couple of toaster ovens on top. Well, they're too big, so okay, I'll use spits instead, which is the Gemara's example. So I take a couple of spits, and now I close up the avir. Okay, now you've got four tefachim of non-kosher schach, because I added the spits. Now, you understand the nonsense of what you're going to tell me? You're going to say, oh, now it's puzzle because you added the spits. Oh, so if it was empty space, how much empty space does it take to puzzle a sukkah? Three tefachim. So if it was empty space, then even though empty space is more chomer than schach pasul, because it pasuls even in three tvachim. So if it was empty space, then it's kosher. But the moment that I made it into spitz, which is less chomer than the empty space, now it's pasul. I ask you, this adds up to you? Does it make sense? What's the din? It's kosher. Now I add a couple of spits. What's the din? My? Now it's puzzle. Now how do you justify that? How do you explain that? How can avir, which was previously in the place where these spits were, and it is more chomer than the spits, how can it suddenly be less chomer, and now it's the spits that become more chomer, because by adding a couple of spits, now all of a sudden, the empty space is included in what passes the sukkah. This, I got to hear the logic of this. So they turn to me and they say, what do you mean, what's the logic of that? You have exactly the same question. What kind of weird question is that to ask us? The only difference between you and me is that you believe that it's for Amot, and we believe that it's for Tfachim, right? Okay, so ask the same question to yourself, okay? Here's the question. Suppose, according to you, the Didach Nami, you say Tzchach Pasul needs Arba Amot, okay? Let's imagine a case. You've got Tzchach Pasul that is 3.9 Amot, right? So it's less than 4 Amot. Plus, you've got 2.9 of Tfachim, of Avir. Pachot Bishlosha. Okay, what's the din? Tell us, dear Rabbah. The din is it's kosher, right? Right. Now, what if I take a couple of spits and I cover the area so now all of a sudden we have 4 Amot? What's going to be the din? Malya Bishpudi Mai. You're going to say the same thing we said, that it's puzzle. That's the same question you asked me. Lo ye Avir Aposel Bishlosha, Kischach Pasul Aposel Barba Amot? I don't understand. How could it be more kosher when it had something that is much more chomer, and now it's less kosher because I added some spitz? Isn't that what you asked? So we're throwing the question back to you, okay? So why do you think that's so strange? So I told them, you guys don't even understand the fundamental logic of this whole discussion. Look. Hi, Mike. What are you talking about? Bishalem aladidi, damina arba amot. According to me, what is the din of this arba amot? According to you, what's the din of arba amot? There is no din of arba amot, right? According to you, the din of arba amot, that comes from Dofan Akuma. So because of that, we're talking about this din in the middle of the sukkah must be arba tfachim, because that's what's considered to be a significant space. Okay. So according to me, that's not true. I say, there is no din of Dofen Akuma. There is a din halacha l'moshe mitzinai that says exactly this. Schach posel pasels a sukkah because it separates between the schach and the wall by 4 amot. Okay? That's halacha l'moshe mitzinai. Don't give me this stuff. Because we see it as the wall bending over. That's not the point. The point is that it really did say that schach is posel because it separates the wall if it's 4 amot away. That's all that it says. Okay, so then according to me, the arba amot is a shear of psul. Once it's a shear of psul, it means it's the shear of separation. It's the shear of separation between the schach kosher and the wall. It's the shear of separation between two halves of a sukkah. Same idea. That's halacha l'moshe mitzinai. I don't argue with halacha l'moshe mitzinai. Thank you very much. Okay. The other din of shloisha tvachim, that's the shear of lavud. Okay. So basically, we do not have a shear at all of a separation. We don't have the shear of lavud if it's less than 3. We don't have the shear of arba amos of schach posel if it isn't arba amos. You cannot put together two separate psulim that have completely unrelated shiurim. The only time we're ever mitzarev things is when they have a shiur that is the same. So therefore, you can't ask me that ridiculous question. Well, isn't this more common? That's halacha l'moshe mitzinai of lavud. This is halacha l'moshe mitzinai of schach posel. Thank you very much. Nothing to do with each other. But according to you guys, it's totally illogical. What you're saying is just pure nuts. You're telling me that we are going to derive the fact that a gap, let's just talk about the gap of three tvachim is enough to separate the schach from the wall. Okay, great. And now you came up with your own idea that, well, a gap of four tvachim, if it's made out of schach posel, that's a very chosh of a place, and therefore it will actually separate. Okay, so tell me the logic. That's what I'm asking you. Liditchu, you say that the idea of the four and the three in the middle of the sukkah is not halacha l'meshiv Sinai. It's a conceptual idea of haflaga. It separates. So I understand. What's the difference if you could separate it with the airspace? And you're now going to say that the illogical construct that I just came up with, where I now fill the airspace, now it becomes a bigger gap? Does this make sense to you? The gap consists of partially air and partially spitz. Now you're telling me it's a bigger gap because I added spitz. Go ahead and explain that to any normal human being. How in the world is it a bigger gap because I add spitz? It's completely, totally against any logic. Whereas my approach, which I didn't come up with this idea of Dofan Akuma, it's a simple shear. My approach makes perfectly good sense. Normally I buy it. Well, it does make sense, but there's a problem. The problem is that even according to you, where you're right, the normal halacha is that if you have two different dinim that have different shiurim, you cannot put them together. Okay, that's true. So you would not be able to put together the shear of schach posel ba'arba amas with the shear of a avir of shalosh tvachim. Fine, I understand that. But remember, there's also another rule, and we had this back in Masechet Kelim. There's another rule that when two things do have an area in which they do have the same shear, then you could be mitzarif them even in a place where they don't have the same shear. So now let me ask you, Lamar Nami, you're right, Delo Shavu Shiorayo Besukah Gedola, but suppose you have a Sukah Ktana, which is precisely 7 by 7. Now, in that case, would it not be true that both of them would be posel b'shlosha tvachim? Why would it be posel b'shlosha tvachim, gentlemen? Well, if you think about it, the reason it's posel b'shlosha tvachim is because if the shear of the sukkah is only 7 by 7, you don't need to split the sukkah into two in order to make it a non-kosher sukkah. You simply have to reduce its covering to anything less than 7 by 7, right? That's a completely different issue. It's over there, you're not going to have a big enough sukkah. Not because you separate the sukkah. So now, in any place where I would have a gap that is not closed by lavud, what's the din? I don't have a sukkah of 7 by 7. Isn't that true? I don't care where the gap is. It's nothing to do with it. I don't care if it's up by the wall. I don't care if it's in the middle. I don't care if it doesn't even run from one end to the other. Is it or is it not the case that a sukkah to be kosher needs a covering of 7 by 7 that I can sit under? That is my sukkah, right? And if it doesn't have a covering of 7 by 7, then I don't have a kosher sukkah. Okay, so if I have a gap or a hole which is covered by lavud, I do not have a problem. Why? Because I have schach that's 7 by 7. What? I measured it molecularly, and you don't have a schach of 7 by 7. Really? Show me where the hole is. Well, I can't show you where the hole is because lalocha, there's no hole. Oh, there's no hole? So could we measure, please, the covering of my sukkah? Gosh, it's 7 by 7, and there's no hole. That means, as far as I can figure out, that I have a kosher sukkah 7 by 7 covered with schach. So you'll say, but what do you mean? You can't turn a hole into schach. Turn a hole into schach? I'm not trying to turn a hole into schach. I'm just saying there is no hole. Right? Okay. So therefore, when it comes to the question of the sukkah ketana, Would it really matter to you whether there's chach puzzle in what you're calling a hole or whether there's avir in what you're calling a hole? We're not interested in the size of the mokum choshev. All we need to do is to show you, my dear friend, your sukkah is not 7x7. And a sukkah that's not 7x7 is not kosher. So that means that basically the two shiurim of avir and of schach posel equal the same shiur of three tefachim in a sukkah ketana. And the rule is that when something has the same shiur, in one case, you can be mitzarefit in any case. Brilliant point, huh? Says Rabbi, that's a ridiculous point. It has nothing to do with the fact that they have the same shear. What shear? There's no shear. It's because you don't have a sukkah. It's because there's no sukkah of 7x7. Again, this is an artificial psul that you're talking about. It's not a new psul of there being something called tzach posel in the middle. It's the same old minimum size sukkah problem. If you don't have a minimal sukkah, then you can't sit in it. Thank you. I don't care why you don't have the minimal size sukkah. It has nothing to do with the fact that one is avir and one is tzach. But bottom line is, show me 7x7 tzach. You can't. Thank you. Don't sit in your sukkah. Ah, what glorious sophistication to be able to distinguish between artificial psulim and real psulim, and therefore artificial shiurim and real shiurim. I think it's marvelous. So anyway, Rabbah all the way through has been saying something so brilliant, so sophisticated, so clear, that it's absolutely stunning. Okay, fine. So Amalei Hosam Lamishum Delo Shavu L'Shiurayel, that has nothing to do with not having the same shiur, silly. It's because there is no shiur. You just don't have the shiur of the sukkah. Wait a minute, is that really true, though, that we're making this idea that wherever shiurim are not the same, that you cannot actually be mitzarif two things? Of course, you know what's coming, guys, because we've had this so many times. We're getting back to our mission in Kalim again. So we had that idea so many times, the different sizes of materials and when you can be mitzarif the materials, right? So we had back in our mission in Kalim, and it said over there that there are different sizes. Habeged is 3x3. Now notice that this is shlosha, not shalosh. Habeged is really shalosh al shalosh. The reason it says shlosha al shlosha over here is because we're not talking about Kabbalah's tumah. We're talking about Kabbalah's midras. And it's talking about that you were miyachided for sleeping purposes. And over there, even if it's three etzba'ot, it's not going to make any difference because you can't sleep on a piece of material that's three etzba'ot. So the shear for Tumas Midras, for the Zov or neither, Metami Mishkav Moshev to lie down on, would have to be a minimum of three actually tvachim and not three etzba'ot. Fine. Now, how about if you did the same thing for sackcloth? Sackcloth is much more garbagey, requires a larger shear of 4x4 tvachim. How about leather? Leather is very thick. For that to be comfortable, you need 5x5. How about a matfatz, which is made out of the reeds, which is really uncomfortable? That needs to be 6x6 to be choshev. Anyway, that's fine. But here's what bothers me, and that is vitani Allah. Now, we have the sugya in Me'ilah, which says that if you have a piece of beged and a piece of sack, or you have a piece of sack and or, or you have or and matfatz, you can be mitzarif one with the other. How can you be mitzarif one with the other if, according to you, you're never mitzarif something that has different shear than another thing? Well, you know the answer, because we've already had this circuit many times. Omer Rabbi Shimon, the point over there is, Hasam Kirik Tani Taima. It says beferish what the explanation is. And that is, Omer Rabbi Shimon Matam, since it's possible to create a situation. Now remember, we had all kinds of machlokas, how far this goes. Does it mean only A plus B, B plus C, C plus D, or does it mean any of them with each other? And that's different ways of learning this piece of the logic behind it, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that matam, V'roi l'tami moshav kiditznan. Hamikatzea mikulam tefach al tefach tameh. We said, if you cut out little squares to make a quilt with, and each square is one tefach by one tefach, so then it's tameh. And we asked, how in the world, one tefach is not usable for anything for midrash. Tefach al tefach tameh, tefach al tefach l'maychazi, what's it good for? Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish b'shum Reb Yanai, ho'yil v'ro'i litlo gabei achamor. Because since you could use this thing to make a patch, now some learn a patch on the chamor that you're sitting on, that blanket of the chamor, the mardat of the chamor. Others learn you could make a patchwork mardat, and therefore they would all have the same shear, because then when you make a quilt, sort of patchwork, it's actually one tefach of each different one. That gives it its interest and so on. So therefore, in that sense, they are all, in one particular circumstance, they are all the same shear of one tefach by one tefach. Since in that rather unusual circumstance, they would all be the same shear, therefore they could all be mitzarif. The other approach is that you can only be mitzarif one to the next one down. And the reason is because if you needed to make a small patch on a torn leather, then you would use the next thing similar to leather in order to patch it up, and so on and so forth. If it was cotton, you'd use the thing next to the cotton, and then it follows that it's only A plus B and B plus C, and so on and so forth. Okay, so there's two different ways of learning there. It's not really important to our sugya, because we've answered the question. The question is, why is Rabbah so certain that according to him, where there's two completely unrelated halachot, one of which is the din of Schach Posa, which is halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai, that has nothing to do with Dofer Akuma, it's halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai, four tefachim of Schach Posa, separates between the Schach and the wall. The exact opposite of Dofer Akuma. Dofer Akuma says, oh, it ends up saying the same thing, but I mean, it's totally unrelated. Dofen Akuma simply tells you where you can have a wall. And the halakha, according to Rabbah, tells you where you have a gap. So they're basically opposite halakhas. So Dofen Akuma says, well, you don't have a problem of a separation because you're allowed to use Dofen Akuma. Yeah, but what if I'm not allowed to use Dofen Akuma? Well, then there's no connection. So it just comes out that the shear is the same as Rabbah's shear. But it's something of an accident, if you look at it that way. Okay, anyway, so now we've got this approach to the discussion, according to which Rav was quoted by these Talmidim as saying that the shear of Schach Posel in the middle of a sukkah is four tefachim. And Rabbah was up in arms, and he says, that is absurd. This approach was said in the yeshiva in Surah. So Besura Melash Matzah, the highlish of the way that we just quoted it. But Nahar Da, it came across very different. Nahar Da went like this, that Rev Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that Tzchach Posel Be'emtza is Posel Ba'arba'ah, and Minatzat Posel Ba'arba'ah Mot. Now that is essentially what Rav said according to the first version in the yeshiva in Surah. In Nahar Da, they have Shmuel saying that. And then Rav says what it was that Rabbah had said. And Rav says, Bein min atzad, bein be'emtza, ba'arba amut. So therefore, we asked in that, in the version that comes from Nahar Da, we went ahead and we asked the question that we asked before on Daf Yud Daled. And the reason that we asked that question is because once we have a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, we now have another factor that has to be injected into our discussion. What's the other factor? Well, the other factor is that according to Rav, Rabbi Meir holds that the psul of Tasev Elomena Osui, in the event that we're dealing with its extension into Gzeras Tikra, is only said, according to Rabbi Meir, and it's only said on a board that is four tefachim wide. Whereas according to Shmuel, Reb Yehuda also agrees to Dofen, to the din of Gzeras Tikra, except he holds it applies to four, and Rabbi Meir holds it applies even to less than four. Okay? Now that additional complication only arises now that we've spoken about the version of Nahar Da. because the version of Narda makes the whole deal a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which means now we're going to have to think about that additional consideration. And because of that, we may be able to bring proofs which were not accessible to us in the yeshiva in Surah. And that's exactly what we did. We brought up the old Mishnah we had discussed earlier, back on Yudalit, and we said, look, it says in the Mishnah, if you take a board, which is four tvachim wide, Natana le'aneser, shurachav arba'at tvachim, kshera. Okay, now, let me ask you what that means. Four tvachim is kosher, okay? Four tvachim is kosher? Didn't we just have this whole big discussion about whether four tvachim passels in the middle? So I understand. How can it be kosher if you put a board across your sukkah, which is four tvachim? Now, I mean, according to Rav, it makes sense. Because Rav says there's no psula of four tvachim. It's always four amas, whether it's in the middle, whether it's minatzad, it's always barba amas. Okay, that would explain why it's kosher. But you said that according to Shmuel, that the din is that schach posel passels in the middle of the sukkah of arba'at tvachim. So why exactly would it be kosher? What do you mean, why? Who says we're talking about the middle? We're talking about the side. So it's kosher because of Dofen Akuma. What does that have to do with it? Okay, fine. So what about the other braita that we brought before with the thing about two sheets right up next to each other? So it says over there that two sheets that are less than the shear of arba tvachim are mitztarfim. And they can make the two of them together into four tvachim. But two boards would not be mitztarif. Rabbi Meir says, why not? Boards are exactly the same as sheet. Sheet is pasul because it's a kabel tumah. A board is pasul because of what? Well, a board is pasul because of gzeras stikra. So bish, that's why we have to wait till this. So bish l'malach l'shadoma rav, if you learn that Rav was the one who said, it's always arba amot, like the second Lashon over here. So then when it says that you can add up the psul of the boards, add up to what? Well, if you have boards that are four tvachim wide, and remember, Rav says that the whole machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only if they start at four tvachim wide. So then when it says it's mitztaref, it means it's mitztaref to four amos. But if you're going to use the Lashon in which Rav claims, like the first Lashon in Surah, and there it said that Rav said that you only need four tvachim in the middle to passel it, then what do you need Tzira for? If it had four tvachim, then it itself is passel already, because Rav says, Alibed Rabbi Meir, it's passel because of Gzeirat Stikra. So what does it need Tzira for? And if it isn't four, according to Rav, remember, it's just regular kosher schach. That was Rav's whole shot that we had before. So idelet buarba, it's just a stick. Kanya bi'alma, and therefore it would be kosher anyway. No, same answer we said to you before. Man, don't you remember? Li'olam de'id buarba, it's talking about this four tvachim, and when he say it's mitzarif, we're talking about being mitzarif the minatzad into arba amas. That's the point. So Rabbi Meir was saying, look, if you got enough of these, and they're currently four tvachim, if you have enough of them, then it's going to pass for four amas. If you bring six of them, then you're already talking about four amas, 24 tvachim. So my mitztarfim l'arba amot min atzad. Okay, let me ask you just one more case. What about the braita that says that sichecha b'nesarim shel eres, sheyesh b'hem arba'a, divrei alkol psula. So if you used these boards that have arba, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that it's possible. How about if ein bam arba'a? So over there, Rabbi Meir says it's possible, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. You remember this. This was the raya that we brought to Shmuel. But meida Rabbi Meir, that if you have enough distance between one board and the next board, as wide as the board itself, then you could put kosher schach between them, and the whole thing is kosher. Now, this makes no sense at all. I mean, unless the very fact that a board of four tvachim runs down the middle of your sukkah is not a problem. So then you're okay, because you've got the schach on either side. But the board is four tvachim, for God's sake, so it's going to interrupt between the two pieces of schach. If you hold that four tvachim is enough to create an interruption, so then none of this follows. So if you hold Bishlam Alamandi Amar Bein Bemtza Bein Minatzad, it's 4 amos. Okay, fine, 4 amos. You don't have 4 amos. You only have 4 tvachim. Therefore, there's no interruption between the schach on one side of the board and the schach on the other side of the board, because 4 tvachim doesn't interrupt. So that would explain why Mishumachi Kishera. But according to the Mandi Amar, that Beemtza, also 4 tvachim is enough. How is this ever kosher? And at last we get into the answer that we've spoken about before a couple of times, that we explained based on this Gemara, that Omer Avuna Bereda of Yeshua, it's talking about a sukkah that is precisely 8 amot mitzumtzamot askina. So therefore we got 48 tvachim. Start on one side and put down Neser Psal, Neser Psal, Neser Psal. Then go to the other side and do the same thing. Neser Psal, Neser Psal, Neser Psal from the other Gisa. What do you end up with? 2 psalim of 4 tvachim apiece in the middle. And guess what? 4 plus 4 equals 8. And 8 is larger than the minimal size of a sukkah, which is 7. So you'll say, yeah, but it's far away from the wall. How far away is it? The whole thing was only 8 amos, so it's obviously less than 4 amot from the wall, so you've got Dofen Akuma on either side. So what's your problem? The middle piece is the kosher sukkah, and you can't sit under the rest of it. So that's the case. Obviously, if this is what you hold, that's the only way to make sense of the Braita. All right, everyone, Shavua Tov u'mevorach. A nice beginning to an exciting week. Bezrat Hashem of Bsurot Tovot Yeshuot. Menachamot on many essential levels. May we be zeichah.